from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia.
Great to be back, and great to be back at camp in Western New York in the Rochester area in the town of Pittsford here.
I love camp. I think we all know that. It's my favorite time of the year.
You know, you kind of benefit being, you know, here in a way and just, you know, kind of with everybody else.
And every team is a new team.
First practice already in the books. The thing that impressed me the most was the timing of the passing game today. The execution by the offense in the passing game was on point.
Mike Danger.
It is the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia here broadcasting live from St. John Fisher University. Bills Camp Live.
Gene Battaglia.
Look, if you are lucky enough to get over to Fisher, watch the Buffalo Bills, don't be a stranger. We're by the Pelicano Pavilion. We're in the Pelicano Pavilion, and if you make your way around there, you'll be able to find us.
95.7 FM and AM 950 The Fan, Rochester.
Hey, a very good afternoon to you as we welcome you on into the Sports Bar. It's Danger and Battaglia live from St. John Fisher University and day one of Buffalo Bills training camp. I'm Danger, that's Battaglia.
We are back. Happy football season, Danger. How are you today?
We are back, yeah. Man. And it just it felt good to be back on the field. It felt good to see the guys out there executing and playing at a high level. It was a lot of fun. It was a memorable day. We've dealt with some stuff here in the last couple of hours. We always get one day where it just downpours on us here, but luckily we're underneath the Pelicano Pavilion here and ready to give you 3 hours of fantastic sports talk for the Flower City.
Yeah, if you're watching online right now on YouTube or Twitch, you can see that the sun is back out. It was out this morning. And if I had to give you kind of an overall feel of practice this morning, I guess it's kind of the feel overall of camp so far. Like, it's like the weather, a 75-degree sunny day, Danger. Like, the injury is usually a storyline. This player on PUP, this player expected back at this point. Everything seems to be running smooth. Yeah. No contracts, no injuries.
Yeah, that's right. I think that's exactly how they want it, and anytime they have to deal with any of those external kind of distractions, it's not viewed favorably with this regime. I mean, to hear Sean McDermott say, everybody's practicing. We don't have any injuries to deal with. I mean, to see Matt Milano out on the practice field today when we were kind of wondering all offseason, like, oh, what's he going to look like? We hear he's practicing in OTAs, but are we going to see him right away? Are we going to see him right away? He's out there. Everybody was out there. And you don't have any contract disputes that you're dealing with. You don't have any holdouts or hold-ins. You don't have any off-field issues that you have to address. You don't have any locker room issues that you really have to address. It's kind of boring. I'm not going to lie.
Well, at some point, I wouldn't put tomorrow on my bingo card, but at what point during this Bills camp will we get a little scrap? Didn't happen today. At least I didn't witness anything today. It could be said, in other places around the league, certainly. But I thought it was also interesting today, Danger, that right out of the gate, and usually special teams is the warm-up. And you're like, okay, I'm just going to. They're practicing the new kickoff.
I tell you, yeah. And when you see it, if you haven't seen it yet, when you see it for the first time, it's a little bit jarring. It looks different. It's a football play, but it looks like a different kind of football play, so it takes a second for you to adjust. But it's fun. It's exciting. It looks different, and I think it's going to be an interesting element that gets thrown into every game of this NFL season. And you heard Brownie and Tasker talk about it on Bills Live. I think the offense today kind of showed up, and you saw a lot of crisp timing and rhythm out of that offense with Josh Allen connecting to several different receivers throughout the course of the morning's practice.
Yeah, and I heard you on the break room this morning. Josh Allen coming out on a hoodie?
Hood up.
Oh,
hood up.
Hood up.
Hey, look, whatever you got to do to get fired up. You know, Joe Burrow's going to bleach his hair blonde. Josh Allen shows up with the hood on.
So is that a fashion statement? Is that I want to be a little more uncomfortable knowing that it was, you know, mid-70s, but you're on the field and the sun's baking down on you. It's got to be a little uncomfortable.
I have no problem with it. Zero issue with it at all. And Duffy went as far to say that guarantees a championship. So I don't know if we can go that far. Yeah, we can already start booking our tickets to the Super Bowl. Lots to get to this afternoon here in the Sports Bar, live from St. John Fisher for Bills Camp Live. We heard from not just Sean McDermott today. We also heard from Brandon Bean today. We'll get to both of those press conferences. In case you missed them, you'll be caught up on everything that both the head coach and GM of the Buffalo Bills had to say here at day one.
The Brandon Bean one is interesting. He's not hot per se, but he's very, very clear when he thinks about the unnamed reporter, the unnamed source there in the report by ESPN's Jeremy Fowler that kind of calls Josh Allen overrated. We'll get to that here coming up later.
Yep. We have great guests joining us today in the Sports Bar as well for his 36th training camp with the Buffalo Bills, 13 Wham Sports and BuffaloPlus.com's Mike Catalano will be stopping by the Sports Bar later this afternoon.
Yeah, if you're scoring at home, the Bills have been here since the year 2000. So that goes back all the way to the time of Fredonia. And Danger, that was such a different time. I mean, I went to some of those practices at Fredonia. There was a snow fence, walk right up. You're talking maybe a few hundred. Nothing like it was today, but it's good to get the perspective of Mike Catalano, talk about some of these position battles. Maybe there is a surprise here. We'll get to that back in the secondary. One player that was seeing some notable reps today. We'll talk to 13 Wham and Buffalo Plus's Mike Catalano coming up in the 4 o'clock hour.
And can I own up to a mistake? I'm kind of embarrassed because our guest joining us here later on this hour is somebody that is very familiar with the operation here at Bills training camp at St. John Fisher. Somebody that is very familiar with our city. He's an Aquinas grad.
Yeah.
And he's a high up within the Buffalo Bills organization. He's just not as high up as I thought he was. I called him the president a couple of times in our conversation with Pete Guelli, the COO of the Bills and Sabres. Pete Guelli stopped by earlier.
I might have said that yesterday on the air. I'm trying to think back. I had to roll the tape on
I feel bad because I don't want to, you know, I don't want to come off as anything but professional and prepared. And we certainly were prepared to talk to Pete today and have some updates for you to share on the stadium, on the state of both the Bills and the Sabres. And also, hey, we're a Rochester show. Let's find out more about the Nighthawks and the Amherst while we're at it.
Yeah, we're going to ask him point blank what's going on with the Amherst and the arena. And are the Rochester Nighthawks indeed for sale? And if so, well, can they keep the team here? We'll talk to Pete Guelli, who is the COO of the Bills, the Sabres, overseas. He's got a lot on his plate right now, particularly with the new stadium going up.
Absolutely. Your calls are always welcome here on the Good Smoke Barbecue and Pub Wingman line, 866-4-FAN. You can join us at 866-4326. And we should also mention that all of our guests appear on the Ace Swim and Leisure Hot Seat.
Yeah.
Yes, our coverage here is brought to you by Ace Swim and Leisure, Chi Lai Ave and Ridge Road, Webster, aceswim.com, and Maddie's Motorsports, locations in Farmington, Spencerport, and Dansville, maddiesmotorsports.com.
Can hit us on, up on X, the Fan Rochester. As we mentioned, injuries, knock on wood, nothing to report to you today. Certainly no hold-ins, but now we have our second quarterback doing this. And what's notable about this, Danger, is you go decades without something like this happening. I had to go back to Kelly Stover. I barely remember the guy.
Right.
But that was the last finger quote, hold out. Now, what's the difference between a hold out and a hold in? Jordan Love of the Green Bay Packers shows up at camp. It's like, yeah, you know, until I get the contract all kind of ironed out. And yes, I'm under contract this year, but grossly underpaid. I'm going to not risk it here. I'll be in there in the team meetings supporting my teammates on the sidelines, but I'm not taking a rep.
Right.
So this is the new trend. Now we get another quarterback doing the same thing.
Yeah, and you don't have to look very far. It's within the division. It's the Dolphins, and it's Tua. Tua exercising his right now to hold in as he waits for a new contract. And, well, I mean, the Dolphins have kind of, like, made it pretty clear through their actions that they're not 100% bought in on this guy. But at some point, they're going to have to pay the man if they want their franchise quarterback to show up.
Which of the two storylines here? And you got to factor in ownership, and again, ownership is kind of different in Green Bay, of course, but comparing the decision makers when it comes to ownership, GM, circumstantial, which one do you think gets ironed out first? Is it Love? Is it Tagovailoa? I think it's clearly Love. I don't know when the Tagovailoa thing is going to kind of get ironed out.
I will say that as well, just because I have a little bit more faith in the organization getting that deal done, although it's hard to have faith in an organization that just thought that going into this year with their franchise quarterback making $10.5 million, that would just be okay. Like, you really thought that was going to be? I mean, he got you to the divisional round last year.
Right.
$10.5 million. I know you want to try and save and skimp, and the salary cap is real. But, I have a little bit more faith that Green Bay gets a deal done. It'll be interesting to see what that deal looks like and then what the ensuing deal will look like because, let's face it, If you want to believe what people are saying, the Jordan Love deal could make him the highest paid quarterback in the league. What will that make Tua if he's second on that list? Will he become the highest paid quarterback in the league immediately after that first contract gets signed by Love, or vice versa?
It's sometimes when it comes to negotiations, the waiting is always the ploy, right? You want to wait and you want to kind of see what happens. But I would think if you're on the GM side, waiting only serves the player the benefit because maybe somebody else jumps ahead of you in line. Mm-hmm. So we've seen other times. Who was it? It was Khalil Mack and Aaron Donald years ago. Like, it was a similar situation where both guys wanted new contracts and was like a stare down. Like, the first guy who got paid, I know I'm going to get paid more. I'm wondering now if, and I don't know if at some point we're throwing Dak Prescott into the mix. Right now he's fine, but I'm sure there's people in his ear like, hey, what's going on in Green Bay, Miami? You should be doing the same thing, Dak. We bring this up because then you juxtapose it against here, Camp Fisher, where everybody's got a smile on their face and the sun is out and the sky is blue and the Buffalo Bills are going to go 15-2.
All right, this is something that became... That happened during practice. And when it happened, I couldn't help but smile. Gino and I are taking in the first practice of training camp. And then all of a sudden, I hear a very familiar sound. And Danny, if you could give me our hotkeys here, I would love to be able to share the sound that we heard while the Bills were practicing.
So we're watching, I believe it was some special teams warm-ups there, the kickoff.
Yeah.
But sometimes you'll hear the DJ go like period four or something, the big voice recorder, but they're doing something different at camp this year.
Yeah, it's weird. It's the ding. It's the McDermott McLies ding. And I'm like, what? Somewhere Sean McDermott just told a lie. Why is the ding going off? I'm not sure what. So that was something from earlier today. That made me kind of smile in thinking about us being here live.
Yeah, if you're new to the sports bar, welcome. We talk a lot of Buffalo Bills football here year-round, so and you're welcome to join us anytime at our phone number on X, our handle, TheFanRochester. What we do on a typical Wednesday during the season when we're playing sound bites from Sean McDermott and he's pumping the tires up on a particular opponent, this all started, I remember the exact moment it started when the Bills were about to face the two Houston Texans, and the Texans had an ex-Buffalo Bill, Andre Roberts, if you don't remember him, he was a returner for Buffalo, did an okay job, but the guy bounced around with how many teams, and Buffalo was not the first stop, it wasn't the last stop, playing now for Houston, and Sean McDermott called Andre Roberts a future Hall of Famer.
Right.
And he's saying this with a straight face, which, okay, you're like, and, you know, that deserved a ding there. Rather than a buzzer, like a ding, just a playful ding. Like, mm-hmm. Nah, he's not a Hall of Famer ding. And thus, McDermott McLies were born here in the sports
bar. Yeah, well, the ding was prevalent during practice today. It made me smile.
And same exact ding.
It was the exact same one.
Like, yep. Wow.
Yeah, absolutely the same exact one. You can join us at 866-4326, 866-4-FAN. Let's check in with Kyle from North Carolina.
North
listening
Carolina.
To the free-to-download Odyssey app, joining us in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. Hey, Kyle, how are you?
Well, it was really great to be on with y'all. Thank you so much.
Again, we're not able to
call.
Hear Kyle, so we might have to refeed that and see if we can hear him.
Hang
on
there,
our
hang
here.
In, Kyle. All right, we'll get the phone strained out. Apologize for
yeah,
that.
Yeah, no problem. All right, Kyle, stand by. I tell you what, Gino, while we're working on that, let's, Kyle, stand by. Let's go to Sean McDermott's opening press conference from this morning. Over under on how many mentions for Pittsford Derry.
Oh, I listened to it. I was there.
Oh, you already know.
I already know. I can't play along. But when you listen to this, it's like, wait, how? Talking about the wide receivers and we're talking about silverware?
Yeah.
Like, honestly, like, it, well, the way McDermott kind of explains it, it makes sense to me. It also makes me believe that Sean McDermott doesn't cook.
Let's get to Sean McDermott's opening statements from this morning, his press conference from before practice. If you missed it, Sean McDermott here on the Sports
Bar. All right. Good morning. Great to be back. And great to be back at camp in Western New York, in the Rochester area, in the town of Pittsford here. Want to thank everyone first and foremost for coming, but also thank specifically the people who had a large hand in helping us move here. It doesn't just happen by itself. So all the Bills staff, all the staff at St. John Fisher that helped us get settled in here, specifically the St. John's Fisher staff for their hospitality. I understand that we kind of take over campus a little bit here, and it's very much appreciated that the way that they handle us and welcome us. And then, again, the people of Pittsford, our fans in this area, and the towns neighboring Pittsford and their welcome nature. Just went to a little visit to Pittsford Derry last night just to make sure it was still there, and not going to tell you how much I had or what I indulged in, but it was really good and a good way to start camp. So had an opportunity to take my son over there last night and just make sure it was still there. So I did that for everyone else's sake, just so you know.
I heard the phone.
But it's great to be here. We believe in going away to camp. We've talked about that before, namely because of a couple of reasons, one of which is for our team to continue to come together and bond and develop that chemistry that you're going to need, that we're going to need, and then not only get ourselves into football shape, but also build that key element of toughness that we need. It's hard to reinvent that, if you will, in October if you're not winning the line of scrimmage. And so we've got to get that done here and help that carry us forward into the season as we go through. So I'm a big believer in that toughness element to our football team, and you'll see that out at practice as we move forward here and get into full pads. So with that, I'll turn it over to you and your questions.
John, can you update us on physical things that are happening, injury stuff?
Yeah, I mean, you'll see everyone out there at practice today, Sal, and they'll be out there in full capacity, I would say. As we go through camp, some guys will be managed. Milano being one of them, and just to name one of them, but there'll be some guys that get vet days as we go, but we'll just take it one day at a time right now.
John, how does camp change, if at all, with so many new faces this year?
That's kind of life in the NFL, right? It's a new year every season, and it's a new team every year. So you go back to starting from square one, and as I mentioned a few minutes ago, there's many steps between where we are now and where we're trying to get to as a football team and as an organization. This is a critical first step, coming to camp and really winning this first step at camp and accomplishing the goals that we want to accomplish. There's going to be some tweaks here and there with because of some of the youth on our roster and some new faces, as you mentioned. But overall, we believe in what we believe in and the core of what we do.
Hey, Sean, what do you want to see out of Josh Allen this camp verbally, but know that he's in sync with all the new pieces on offense?
I know Josh has put in a lot of time with those new pieces over the offseason. Been very intentional about that. I think he's done a great job of taking ownership with that. And really it's trying to expose those guys to get on the same page as much as we can, and then their understanding of what they're going against from a defensive standpoint. So that is a big intention of ours at camp and the periods that we'll run and how we'll run and shape things as we go through camp.
I know there's turnover every year, roster turnover. This time, though, the amount of turnover you've had with staff and players, does it remind you maybe go take it back to 2018 in some ways?
Possibly. I think overall it's always, and the way I'm looking at it this year, it's a little bit different than 2018. It's an opportunity, and you look forward to those opportunities, right, to bring a team along and put a team together. You know, certain players that work for us may not work for other teams. Certain players that work for them may not work for us. And I think one of the cool things about the position that I'm in, the position we're in as coaches, the position Brandon's in and his staff as well, is that we get a chance to put together a team. And that's not always just, hey, we're going to take the most talented guys across the board. I don't believe that's how you put a team together. Talent is important, but what's just as important once we know that the talent is there is how it all fits together. And the rapport offensively that was mentioned with Josh and how it all fits together in all three phases. So I think that's part of what's exciting about this season is seeing how that all comes together.
What have you seen from Keon Coleman and his approach as you now head into training camp, his first?
Again, I just saw him the last, I guess, half a day here. He got what I know so far is he's here on time. He's ready to go, and he looks like he's ready to attack this first practice. So I'll know a little bit more after I get out of this first practice here.
I meant more of what you saw from him in the spring.
In the spring?
Yeah.
You know, he was a rookie, still is a rookie. That's not going to change. so he'll face the normal rookie challenges. Specific to his position, as spring went on, I saw him start to get more and more comfortable. I saw Josh spending more and more time with him, being intentional about that and building that rapport and chemistry. And then I saw him really starting to win some of those one-on-ones that happen from time to time at his position.
Sean, Kyrie Elam seemed to have a strong spring. How does he carry that over? What's the mindset? You're talking with him so he can carry that over in a training camp as he fights for a spot.
Yeah, I mean, belief is important, right? Belief and confidence are a big part of performing, especially at this level, but not just this level, at many levels, youth levels included. So, you know, it's a clean slate for Kyrie, and we're looking forward to, in year three, what he's able to do. And, again, I think our environment usually helps players with that, right, in that belief and confidence. And we have to continue to instill that as coaches in him, and then he'll do the rest. And so he'll be out there at times running with the first group, at times with the second group, and we'll mix it and give him opportunities to really develop here.
Sean, when you guys start practicing the pads, what kind of tempo do you want to practice kickoffs at?
Yeah, that's a great question, especially with obviously the rule change. There's going to be times where we're going to need to go full speed. We're going to throw a lot into that. We did in the spring as much as we could, albeit in helmets only. So we're going to have to do as much kind of exploration as we can through practice, and then maybe throw some live in there as well.
How well did the guys sort of grasp things during the spring in terms of the rules of it?
Yeah, I mean, they were very attentive. And I would say not just the kickoff or the kickoff return team, but I would say the entire team grasping how that's going to change the game, or how that could change the game, I should say. So I think that's going to play a big part, the way is right now, the way the rule reads right now and will play out, I think is going to play a big part in determining games.
Sean, have you made a decision on play calling on defense yet?
No. You'll see at practice. It's going to be a mix. You know, Bobby will certainly have his fair share. I'll call it some. But getting that piece worked out, and I have a pretty good feel in my head for where I'm going with it. It's just not really to want to publicize that right now. But I do believe whether it's Bobby, Joe, Smiley, that, you know, getting those, that's knocking the rust off for any coordinator, any play caller in camp. And we got to make sure we do that as well, just from some call it periods. So,
Sean, from what you saw from Cole Bishop in the spring, a couple of veterans in that room, you brought back Tyler Rapp. What does he have to do to kind of really enter that position battle throughout training camp?
I mean, he's got to come out and get off to a good start. I mean, we mentioned when we left to the whole team of being in the best shape that you've ever been in, because that's really the start. If you don't come to camp in shape, you know, things happen, you're not available, and then you can't do anything, right? So staying available is important, and then we'll see what type of, at least initial shape we're in. We had the conditioning test yesterday, but we'll see what type of real shape we're in a little bit today. That'll get tested, but then as we move through camp. And so I think really mastering the defense, which is hard to do in the first season, we're mastering, you know, Matt, parts of it to where he can help us maybe in certain packages, starting there and then moving into the starting role as the vision.
What do you need to see from Von Miller? What do you hope that we need to see from Von?
Well, I'm excited for Von. You know, that coming off of an ACL, as long as I've been around this game, is not easy. I don't care who you are. And there's been some variation, some guys coming back faster than others. But usually it's in that second season where the athlete's able to recapture their form. And that's going to be a challenge, but that's what Von's here to do. I know he's worked hard in the off season, and that'll be a big piece for us as we move forward up front.
Sean, you talked about Josh being intentional with the new wide receivers. Yeah. How have you seen him maybe step up more vocally as a team leader? Deion talked about that he hears him barking more during the offseason. Have you noticed Josh being more vocal this time around?
Yeah, I haven't noticed the barking piece. But yeah, Deion's great, right? Josh, overall, you're talking like from a leadership standpoint?
Yeah.
I mean, I've noticed a ratcheted up form of Josh, and from a leadership standpoint, again, just being intentional about, and I say that going back to the spring, and I look forward to that continuing to ratchet up here, but going back to the spring, just being intentional about working with his core receivers, backs, tight ends, and hey, if something's not right, you know, being proactive and saying, hey, listen, let's run that again, or I need to see that again, and we'll go do it during special teams period. He's coming over here with a guy or two, and I think that's a big piece of really getting our level of execution up to where it needs to be and as consistent as it needs to be.
So I think that safety is arguably the toughest position mentally to step into as a rookie, you know, day one.
Other than quarterback?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say quarterback, middle linebacker, and safety, probably, you know, being indifferent of schemes or systems, I would say largely those are the main three that carry the most volume, the most responsibility.
Sean, you mentioned getting back to square one to start the camp. Was that almost more difficult to do over the past few camps because you didn't have as much turnover?
The intention is to always start at square one, Joe, right? I think it's harder, and even talking with some of the veterans who are still here and then some who at the end of the season went to other teams or are not playing right now. I think just speaking with them, it's harder for them mentally to really get back to square one and start over. And so there's an awareness piece with that, that I took out of that, at least, those conversations. But I think that part is necessary, and you have to almost force yourself to do it, even when you've been around a system a little bit or an environment.
Sean, based off of what you said about Cole Bishop and how tough it is to wear it safety, how important is Mike Edwards in getting him kind of fit in here and figuring things out?
Yeah, and you know, he had the injury in spring, so he missed a lot of time there. So that's huge, Josh, for him getting up to speed, the intricacies of our defense. You know, the intention was to have Mike out there with the first group through the spring, the duration of it, but he missed really most of the spring, if not all of it. So, again, that'll be a chance for us this morning to look at Mike and see how he's doing.
On the topic of defensive backs, how important will it be to draw on Bobby's experience having worked with the defensive backs in this time here, especially early in camp when you're still trying to figure things out?
Yeah, and that's part of, I think that's part of, it's awesome, the fans, right? That's part of the, to me, the key ingredient of being a good coordinator is you've worked with the defensive backfield, as you mentioned, and then Bobby's also worked with the linebacking core as well. So having in-depth knowledge of the back seven and then that connection that the linebackers have to the front, being exposed to both of those positions bodes well for Bobby as a coordinator, because not only can he call plays better because of that, but also connect with his staff, in particular the defensive line coaches, knowing, hey, I know enough about the front, how it works together, to have credibility, so to speak.
Hey, Sean, when you look at the receiver depth chart, top to bottom, is this maybe the most diverse or eclectic group of guys you have here? Because, I mean, there's so many different skill sets there.
Yeah, there are, and it's kind of like, you know, you open the drawer to your silverware at home, and you're like, okay, tell me what this does, right? And sometimes I open the drawer at my home, and I'm like, I try and put the dishes back, and I'm like, I don't even know where this goes, right? I think we can all relate, or some of us at least.
Who's the scorer?
So anyway, it's
outside of silverware. What do you think of that?
Yeah. That's how I see it. Honestly, is we don't really know what we have, but we know what we have. And it's interesting to see they're a very diverse group. I know a lot of people talk about we don't have a true number one and this and that. I think these guys will rise to the occasion. I really do.
Sean, you talk a lot about the jump from year one to year two for these guys. Is there anything from Dalton specifically you want to see in camp?
I mean, Dalton's been so good in so many ways. Right away, he's just a great person with a great disposition. And secondly, his connection with Josh, his understanding of our offense, his understanding of NFL defenses. You know, he's gotten off to such a great start. And I know the way he handled in this offseason and the spring, and he didn't stop. I mean, just in terms of his hunger to grow and get better. And that's hard to find, right? Especially when you come off of a year like you had in year one, and now it's, hey, let's do our best to reset it and start again from step one. And looking forward to him really continuing to excel.
Going back to 2018, how much have you, in that sense, grown and can draw from 2018, having had that experience and the experiences of the past 6 years?
Yeah, I think overall, just, you know, there's no substitution for experience, right? No substitute for experience in whatever you do. And I think if you're wired the right way, you're always learning, always growing, and then you're using something I learned this morning or something I learned in 2018, 2023, whatever it is, to make myself better, to make our team better. And I think our players are wired the same way.
John, you watched, obviously you know a lot of those folks, Hard Knocks offseason, and what would you think about opening up the doors at One Village Drive and giving that kind of access for the world to see kind of the inner workings there?
Yeah, I think it's great for the fans. I really do. I was flicking through some channels the other night when I was just kind of sitting in my living room waiting to go to camp, you know, like the first day of school, and Hard Knocks was on. Now, it wasn't the most current version, but I think those are great inside looks for the fans at what goes on around NFL camps, inside the walls, inside the doors, and so if I were a fan, I'd appreciate those moments as well. Good? All right, guys, thank you.
All right, there you have it. Sean McDermott earlier this morning here live from St. John Fisher University Buffalo Bills training camp.
That last question, that's a perfect pivot. he makes you feel good about the answer, but he didn't answer the question. Mm-hmm. Like, of course fans love it. Mm-hmm. He didn't answer if he would like mm-hmm. it. And I think that tells you right there that none of these guys would, you know. And spoiler alert, because I heard the Brandon Bean. We'll play Brandon Bean coming up later. That's Matt Perino, our buddy, asking those questions. Matt, Brandon Bean's going to have a much different answer coming up.
You know, and I want to ask our next guest about Hard Knocks, too, since it got brought up. Pete Gwelly, the COO of the Buffalo Bills and Buffalo Sabres, who was with the New York Giants organization before taking this new role in Buffalo.
Who was with the Charlotte Hornets / Bobcats, working underneath owner Michael Jordan, and you know, comes full circle coming here back to Buffalo. He is an Aquinas grad. Love that Pete Gwelly is coming back to his hometown.
We're going to get him on with us next. We'll get an update on the stadium and more from the Buffalo Bills and Buffalo Sabres COO, Pete Gwelly, stopping by the sports bar. Danger and Battaglia, we are live from St. John Fisher University, day one of Buffalo Bills training camp on the Fan Rochester.
You're listening to the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. On 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan Rochester.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
The Fan Rochester Sports Update.
Day one of practice in the books for the Buffalo Bills here at Fisher. Injury-wise, things are looking really good. Matt Milano practicing fully today. Head coach Sean McDermott likes being back in town.
Great to be here. We believe in going away to camp. We've talked about that before, namely because of a couple of reasons, one of which is for our team to continue to come together and bond and develop that chemistry that you're going to need, that we're going to need.
Next practice coming up tomorrow morning. We'll talk to the COO, Pete Goeli, of the Bills and Sabres, coming up next year in the Sports Bar. Rochester Red Wings are home tonight. They take on Lehigh Valley on the Major League scoreboard. Pirates shutting out the Cardinals 5-0. Braves falling to the Reds 9-4. It's the Red Sox trailing out in Colorado 3-1. Yankees and Mets tonight in the Bronx. We're live from St. John Fisher University. Gene Battaglia, The Fan Rochester.
They've raised the bar on Rochester Sports Talk. You're in the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan, Rochester.
Welcome back into the Sports Bar. Danger and Battaglia, we are live from St. John Fisher University, Buffalo Bills training camp, day one. And our first guest here on site, it's president of the Buffalo Bills and Buffalo Sabres, the pride of SUNY Brockport, Pete Goeli, joining us here in the Sports Bar.
That's one way to characterize it.
Pete, this is full. Welcome home.
Thank you.
So for folks who don't know, Pete, Aquinas grad, and you broke in years ago with the Buffalo Bills, and you helped lay the foundation here at St. John Fisher. I remember you telling me the story that first night before you couldn't sleep. You were so excited thinking about all that could go right or go wrong. What's it like coming back here and experiencing camp all these years later?
Amazing. The emotions driving down the thruway to come here and pulling into campus after the history, you know, that I've had here or been a part of, it's pretty amazing. It's really hard to put into words. What was really gratifying is that I stood up over time. You know, it was built, a lot of people were involved with this, but you can still see, right, from a fan experience standpoint, from a football standpoint, it still works. It's been improved. There's been a lot of improvements. I'm excited how it's evolved. But it's fun to know that something that we built that many years ago still stands the test of time.
It absolutely does. And you know, I don't know how much of an imprint you're adding to it now, but it does feel this year like there is an emphasis on that fan experience. There is an emphasis on getting kids kind of involved in what's going on here, different activities, lots of things that go beyond just coming by, watching practice, and cheering for your Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, and you know, football's it's big, right? I've been in a couple of different sports. I mean, the scale of what we do at the NFL is enormous, but ultimately, you know, the more you can shrink it and create this intimate environment for fans, and there's no better place to do that at training camp. I've always thought it was really cool to be able to watch your team come together before the season starts and to do it up close and personal. It's kind of the genesis behind why we did it, that and the fact that Rochester is a critically important market for us, but it's always been about the fan experience, and all they've done is evolve it and make it better.
Yeah, and it's the one place too. If you have a kid, you can watch Josh Allen up close and personal. Now that you're getting to know the Buffalo Bills quarterback, how have been the interactions between you and Josh? What's your observations of number 17, Pete?
I mean, he's QB1 for a reason, and not just on the field, but off the field, right? Obviously, we know how great he is as a player, but just a good guy. You know, it's not just Josh. Everybody has welcomed me back with open arms. I walked in that building, and in a lot of ways, they made it feel like I never left. The onboarding process was seamless. Sean, fantastic. Brandon, fantastic. Obviously, Josh. But everybody at the Bills, and then ownership, you know, Terry and the family, we went through this process of deciding this was the right fit. And I think once we did, everybody was kind of all in, and it's been this family feel right from day one.
So, Pete, the last time we talked to you was right after you were introduced as president. And you mentioned that one of the bigger things that you're going to be overseeing is the stadium. How's the stadium going? What's going on? What can you tell us?
Our construction guys like to use the term comfortably on schedule. They won't say on time, which at some point I'll get them to say that. But no, everything's going really well. If you get a chance to go out there, it's amazing. The steel that's coming out of the ground and the precast is being poured. It's starting to really look like a stadium. You can get a feel for what this is going to be like. It's amazing to think about, you know, what it was like when I left and now coming back, and you've got this state-of-the-art facility in Buffalo. It's the biggest construction project in the history of Buffalo, and it's right out our backyard. So just to be involved with something that aspirational and think about where we were and where we are now it's hard to wrap your head around.
Yeah, he's the COO of the Bills, the Sabres. He oversees the properties here in Rochester. And when we talked that first time, like, where do you begin here? So much that is on your plate. So as you prioritize, I could put words in your mouth, but I would guess it's the PSLs. What's your top priority right now, Pete?
Well, first of all, I was excited that Mike gave me a promotion. That was because I haven't been here that long, but Terry's actually the president. So
sorry.
No,
yes.
Look, I'm not going to complain about that. That's great. There's a lot. You know, there's a huge list of things between both organizations. I don't think there's a bigger priority than the stadium right now. So that's obviously taking a lot of time, but really we're looking at every aspect of the business. We want these two teams to be sustainable long-term in that marketplace. So Terry said, come on in, take a look, do some discovery, tell us what we could be do better, tell us what we're doing well, and let's put us in a position to be successful long-term with both organizations, because Terry and his family are incredibly committed to Buffalo. I don't think an owner can be more committed to a market than he is, and he's always looking to make it better and cement the legacy of these teams and his family in this market, and that's what I'm here trying to do.
So there's a huge demand, obviously, for the Bills, and with the new stadium, that demand, there's a price that comes with that demand. And I know in Buffalo specifically, we're a little bit more out of the blast radius here, but there are people saying, you know, hey, I've been a season ticket holder for generations. How am I going to be able to afford this new experience at this new stadium? What would you say to that fan?
I think, look, it's probably a question of demand and as much as how economics of just sports have changed over the last X number of years. I obviously inherited a lot of the things that are going on at the stadium, but I've had time to come in and take a look at what they're doing. And the great thing about it is the statement from the beginning was the stadium will be built for Buffalo, and it is. So there's price points for every single consumer that is interested in participating at the stadium with us. I've had a chance to look at them, very confident in how the rollout is going. The demand has been overwhelming for the products that are on the market right now, so that's a great sign, and we're going to start cascading now that through the building. But the good news is, having looked at it now, I feel very comfortable that when every fan gets a chance to go through the stadium experience and understand what their options are, they're going to please that they're going to have an ability to get on board with the team.
He's the CEO of the Bills and the Sabres, Pete Gowelly, Rochester's own. I still own you. You still have that title here, Pete. Aquinas Grant. Pete, for people that don't know, you work for Michael Jordan, down with the Hornets. You came over to the Giants. You come over to Buffalo. You different data points, you know, certainly along the way. But in terms of Brandon and Sean and how they're building a football team, how much input do you have in that regard? Or do you just kind of, here are the keys, boys, keep doing what you're doing?
No, I mean, it's a separate reporting line. Like, those guys report directly into the owner on the football side. I report it on the business side. But there's a lot of alignment and integration. That's what you try to do. Like, that's the way these teams, I think they should be set up, right? There's people that have really specific experience in these disciplines. That's what they should focus on. But the key is having an aligned performance-based culture that everybody buys into. When football is operating at a high level and business is operating at a high level and everybody's communicating and aligning and interacting, that's when something special can happen. I felt like we were on the precipice of that with the Giants. You know, Joe Shane and Brian Daboll came from here. They're kind of cut out of the same cloth as Sean and Brandon, and so I feel like that organization is in great hands. We had a great relationship, and we were working towards something. Here, these guys have already built the foundation on the football side. Like, you know, our job now is to come in and build a similar culture on the business side and connect the two of them.
Now, I'm only going to bring it up because I heard Brandon bring it up earlier. You got out of that organization right before Hard Knocks cameras came into the organization. You breathe in a deep sigh of relief that they're not following you around?
I mean, I think you're good. You guys, I'm a pretty transparent guy in general. I've been in a lot of draft rooms. I've been at the combine. Like, I know how all this stuff works. I think fans should have access to this kind of information. Now, it's interesting to see how they react to actually getting it sometimes, but I was honestly a proponent of it. Like, you know, Joe Shane and his team, they're great at what they do. I think they should be proud. I think ownership should be comfortable showcasing them. I know it's a little bit of a culture shock. I don't necessarily think every team can do it, but I was very involved in the process. I always have been watching the show because of that, and I like what they've done. So I don't know if I'm in the minority or not, but, you know, I think everybody wants that kind of access. They finally got it, and I think people should enjoy it.
Pete, so many people in Rochester for decades have gotten better opportunities and left. You're one of them, and I'm just curious your experience, your advice, and just let us know, you know, what it's like being a family guy and saying, hey, let's go for this opportunity. Or what was that like getting that call, hey, would you be interested in coming back home here to Western New York?
Yeah, I mean, I would have never predicted this journey. My position's always been, look, you got to go where the opportunities are. And I had an amazing opportunity in Charlotte and spent 10 years there, and it turned out better than I could have ever thought it would. And then the Giants call, and I'm thinking, well, this is one of the biggest brands in sports, one of the most valuable sports teams in the world. How do you say no to in the market? How do you say no to that? Take it, have a great 5 years. I wasn't anticipating another call coming, And when it came in and John Mara walked in my office and said, look, the Bills have called and they're interested in talking about an opportunity there. He said, what do you think? I'd love to talk to them. It's my hometown. I don't know how many opportunities you get to even consider something like that. So he allowed me. I was under contract. He allowed me to have a conversation. Came back and met with Terry and Laura and family office, and they explained more about what it was. And it was the Bills and it was the Sabres. And I thought, you know, I could, at this point in my career, I'm lucky. I could pretty much do this anywhere. It's more meaningful if you can do it in your hometown, especially attached to such inspirational opportunities like a new stadium and some of the things we're talking about doing at the arena. So it's, I mean, too amazing to pass up. To come back home, and we were talking about it, being here in Rochester, being in Buffalo, doing it where it matters and it's personal and it's meaningful is a whole different ballgame. And I think winning in Buffalo, to me, would mean more to me than anywhere else I could be in the world. So that's why I came back.
And Pete, since you brought up the arena and the Sabres, I mean, that's under your umbrella of responsibilities as well. We've seen what's gone on this offseason. I don't know if you heard, there's a playoff drought with the Sabres.
Heard that. Look, I haven't experienced it. I don't know what you guys are talking about. Well, I wasn't here.
We see the changes that are happening. What kind of an update can you share with us as far as the progress that the Sabres have made here this offseason? And you mentioned the arena. Is there something that fans can get excited about with the arena?
Yeah, I mean, I'm incredibly excited about both teams for different reasons. Obviously, what these guys have built with the Bills, the sustainable playoff success that they've had, and you guys talked about QB1 and everything that's going on with the team and the stadium. But the Sabres, it just feels like that's an untapped opportunity. You know, they've had the playoff drought. There's opportunities to upgrade the arena. Some of those things are already happening. There's a new scoreboard coming in. That's in the process of being put in. It's twice the size of the previous scoreboard. The resolution's higher. It's going to be a different experience when people walk in. But that's phase one. You know, we're taking an entire look at the building and the experience. How do we upgrade it? Same thing. Terry's a huge hockey fan, incredibly committed to that team. He's brought Lindy in to help us take the next step. But there's, again, for the Bills, they're in an advanced stage. I think the Sabres, there's a lot of opportunity to build things up there. And I love that. You know, that's very similar to what I did when I went to the Hornets. It was an arena-based property. It hadn't been performing as well as it could be. We restructured and built a new infrastructure, brought some people in, started to create some momentum, brought the Hornets brand back. Next thing you know, we were rolling there. So, I can see a very similar path for the Sabres.
Yeah, Pete, we are aligned Rochester and Buffalo all but one thing. We love the Bills, love the Sabres. Get out of here with your bandits. We got the Nighthawks here. Right? I just get that. No orange coming to arena.
Hey, look, back-to-back championships.
I
it's kind of hard to dispute that.
I know. Not I'm jealous or bitter or anything like that. The question being about the Rochester sports properties, I understand. Like, you've got other things on your plate, but we do know there is an RFP to run the Blue Cross Arena. And, you know, will the Amherst be bidding on that? What's the status of that? And also, we do have the report from the Athletic that if somebody wanted to buy the Nighthawks, that you would listen. So comment on the arena and as well as the Nighthawks here.
Yeah, I think, look, we're committed to, obviously, you have to look no further than this camp, but think about how committed ownership is to the Rochester market. As you come in and start evaluating all the properties, how do they fit? So you're trying to make determinations on that. The Amherst are incredibly important to the future of the Sabres. As we know, a lot of players there. And, you know, obviously we brought Seth up for a reason, too. So there's a lot of connectivity there. I think we're still trying to figure some of that stuff out. There has been some dialogue around the Nighthawks. And if it makes sense to have two teams in that league, there's some redundancy there. So that is a conversation we're having. You know, we are talking about the city, about the arena, but there's been nothing finalized there yet. So, you know, all I can say is we're committed. We're just looking at the model to make sure it's right for us long term.
Pete, we know how ingrained you are in this specific event, training camp. You were a part of it at the very, very beginning of it coming to Rochester. We also know with that stadium going up, and we look around the NFL, and maybe it's Rochester's insecurities showing up here. Don't pull up stakes and leave. Don't pull up stakes and leave training camp for the new shiny new toy. I mean, we know how much we hear Sean and Josh and Brandon say how much they love coming to camp. Mm-hmm. We see that. We feel that every summer when you guys are here. But at the same time, we're also being realistic. Is training camp safe in Rochester for years to come?
Look, I can tell you, I had breakfast with Sean this morning, and I can't tell you how much he enjoys bringing the team to Rochester every year, how much he thinks it means to help create the foundation for the season. We talked about all the new faces and how getting away puts us in a better position, you know, to create a competitive team and get everybody on the same page. I was interested because, you know, having been involved in the process of putting camp here in the first place, how is it working operationally? Nothing but positive response from him and how it works for him and for the rest of the team. So, you know, look, I'm a Rochester guy. I couldn't be more bullish on the market. I know how important it is. I talked to Sean this morning. He's really excited about being here. There's nothing that would indicate to me that we wouldn't be here. So I'm excited, and all we're going to do is continue to pour as much time into this market as we possibly can.
Gosh, you're 2,000. You're doing two-a-days. You're doing a lot. Like,
I know.
It's a different world out here.
Night practices here right behind us in that stadium. It was a little bit different. But, you know, once we launched that camp, we knew we had something. People just showed up and showed out, and it was amazing. And Rochester's always been a critical piece of the Bills' business model, especially when we're in a small market. That's not changing anytime soon. So this is critically important to us. And to see how camp has grown, see what's been invested here, and see it grow over time is really gratifying when you look back and say, oh, I was part of this whole thing. I went away for 15 years, but it's still an amazing property, and there's still opportunities to keep getting better.
Well, Pete, it's great seeing you in person. Thanks for joining us here on the Sports Bar. Enjoy the rest of camp, and best of luck with everything you've got going on. I don't know if you're busy or not, but you know, if we can get the chance to do this again sometime soon, we would love it.
I would like to do it. Schedule's been a little tough. We're figuring it out. We're getting there. Yeah. But thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate it.
There's Buffalo Bills COO Pete Coeli, who joined us earlier here on the Sports Bar. Danger and Battaglia on the Fan live from St. John Fisher University.
I think in the end, they're going to be just fine with the stadium. Might be a little slow here. Might take a little bit of a process to get it done. But if this team meets expectation, that's also a big part of this, Danger, that winning kind of opens up the wallet. And I think back to when these discussions began to happen, when do we start to have the conversation with the state about building a new team? And, well, the Pegulas were very clear. We need to make sure that the team gets good first and foremost. And we've enjoyed this window here because you found the quarterback and the head coach. And this has been exciting. And I think that everything's going to be fine. Although I certainly love to know more details here on how the actual sales are going here for the new stadium.
Yeah. Great of Pete to join us. The pride of Aquinas, Rochester's own, is the COO of the Bills and the Sabres, stopping by the Sports Bar next hour. On the way here, we're going to talk to 13 WHAM Sports Director Mike Catalana, BuffaloPlus.com. I believe this is his 36th Buffalo Bills training camp. My goodness.
Yeah.
We'll tap into how this one might be different, what his eyes saw on the practice field. We'll get his observations here in a couple few. And we also heard Brandon Bean speak earlier today. His press conference, interesting in that Brandon Bean, almost a little out of character, really took exception to some of the reports that have been going on around Josh Allen and how some things around number 17 have been reported here over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, we'll get to some of that Brandon Bean audio. And then on the other side, we don't have time for this quite often for our camp live shows here, but we do have time for your calls. 866-4FAN.
Buffalo Bills training camp at St. John Fisher University. Bills Camp Live, brought to you by Ace Swim and Leisure, Chilai Ave and Ridge Road, Webster, aceswim.com, and Maddie's Motorsports with locations in Farmington, Spencerport, and Dansville. Maddie's Motorsports. .com. More next live from St. John Fisher University. It's Buffalo Bills training camp day one on the Fan Rochester.
You're listening to the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. 95.7 FM and AM 950. The Fan Rochester.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, what's cracking? It's your boy James Coe back with my brand new project, the Sleeper King Football Podcast. Look, I get it, okay? There's a lot of fantasy pods out there, but we're going to keep this one light, 15 to 20 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week. And man, we are going to pack it with all the info you need, season long, weekly projections, and of course, sleepers, sleepers, sleepers. Follow and listen to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.